It's good to see you again for those who have been here this morning, but I also want to welcome all those who have come this afternoon. My name is David Katende from Uganda. This is my first time in this, in the men's, you know, dealing with the men.
Yeah.
But maybe more than, but more than four in this church. So, I want to thank the organizing committee. Nigel been working hard, and Malcolm, Pastor June, of course, Philip, and everybody. Just clap for the leadership of this church. Just amazing leaders. Come and clap for them. And of course, your wives, if you've got one. Amen. Come and clap for their wives as well. Yeah. Thank you, Dan, with your team. I really appreciate that. You just ushered the presence of God. And while you were singing one of those songs, I just saw a picture of a broken vessel on God is, you know, this spinning wheel. And tears just came down. And it was like there was new hope for this vessel that was broken. Just as you're worshiping that, I envisioned that. That was so clear to me. Thank you very much for ushering in God's presence. And I don't know who that is, but I think there's somebody who is being healed, somebody who has just been given hope when the vessel was really broken, and that is your life. You had no future, but now God says you have one, and it's a brilliant one. For those who are not here this morning, we shared about many things, but one of the things that I've just read through, you know, as I make my research on the things I'm going to speak about, you know, I get opportunity to research and find things. God, you know, make me find things. I came across this Japanese pottery kind of art, where this man had a very important, you know, pot that he brought from China to Japan. But then as he was having a cup of tea, it got broken, and he felt so bad that he sent back the pot, you know, the transport, and all the time in the 15th century, you know, from Japan to China, that was really, really an expensive journey, just to take a pot. But that's how much precious this vessel was to him. And then when it came back after repair, there were just stitches on it. And when he poured his tea, the tea just came out just like that. And he was so angry at that and kicked it because he didn't know what to do. If the Chinese, the producers could not fix it, who could do it? Then there was a man in his palace sort of that had an idea immediately, took it away. And then he bought gold, crushed it, and then, you know, fixed this vessel with the gold dust. And when it came back, I had a picture with me. I don't know if Malcolm can find it quickly, because I'm not doing it again. But just for those who are not here this morning, just to give you just a gist of what happened this morning. And that vessel came back with all these gold patches in it, and it was solid again. And then he brought it back to the master. And the master looked at it and was not only fixed, but was so precious than the pot he had before, because now it has gold in it. And that is the grace of God. I looked at that and I saw the grace of God. We are all broken in pieces. We are not repairable. We are gone beyond repair. But the Lord picked our pieces and brought us together. And he put those golden, you know, patches, and he repaired us. And that's the grace of God all over everybody. We did not deserve this grace. But God picked our pieces and he put us together. And we discovered a lot of men and women. Of course, I was talking to men, so we didn't mention a lot of women. but we talked about this. All these men in the scriptures, Adam being the first, you know, how God restored him. He was broken to pieces, big cracks in his life. But God fixed him and brought him back. When you hear this voice, Adam, where are you? He's looking for him. He wants to repair him because he knows he has broken his life. So was Moses, the murderer. He has run away. He's a fugitive running away from Egypt after killing somebody. God mended him and molded him on his spinning wheel where he fixes humanity. And after 40 years, he sent him back to Egypt. And the Bible says he made him a god before Pharaoh. But this is a broken man. look at David. I was sharing with my brother and told him, I don't have words to express how God forgave David. The way the Lord has revealed it to me, I'm still looking for words to bring out how God mended and forgave and built his life once again after the conspiracy he had and killed his most loyal servant, Uriah. Took his wife. He had a criminal mind. This is the king that God has entrusted with the great nation Israel. Broken to pieces. There's no way David can be forgiven. There's no way David can be picked upon. There's no way God can use him again after doing that. But because of his unending love, his grace brought him back, forgave him, built him. And then he loved his son, Solomon, who is not supposed to be born. Solomon is out of order. He's coming from illegitimate marriage. There's no way he can become king of Israel. But how merciful the Lord is. He looked at David, because David melted before him. He said, Lord, I'm coming to your spinning wheel. Build me again. In iniquity I was born. I don't know what to do, Lord. This thing is following me. You know, David is known as a giant killer. By this time, this giant killed him. It almost killed him. The giant, the debris that remained in his clay, the thing that he never dealt with. What are those things that you are not dealing with? They are in your family. They are in your heart. You know them. One day you may crash. David never dealt with this debris that brought trouble. But anyway, God is merciful. And he sent the same prophet that went to him before, Nathanael, and said, go and tell him and name this child Jedidiah, which means I loved him. I have loved him. And Solomon became king when he was not supposed to even to be born. I don't know who the Lord is speaking to. I don't know how you were born. But one of the things when I was asking God, but how can this be? Then the Spirit of the Lord taught me, there can be illegitimate marriages, but there will never be illegitimate children. All children are legitimate before the Lord. And so was Solomon. And the Lord accepted him anyway, and he became king. And when you look at the genealogy of Jesus, Solomon, you know, Bathsheba is involved. How it comes about? It is his indescribable grace. It's grace everywhere. It's grace for you, grace for me. There's no way Saul, the Apostle Paul, who became the Apostle Paul, there's no way God is going to use him. How many people has he killed? Actually, the Lord kept that as his secret. I don't know how many Christians, but he killed many. Threatened the church. Persecuted it. And on his way to persecute more, the Lord looked at him. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful example, yes. Samson. Yes, yeah. Yes. But you see him praying. I said, Lord, only this once. If he had prayed, he returned my eyes, he would have returned. His prayer limited him. Where was I before he went to that? So, you know, there's no way, we don't know how many people he killed. But I'm just recapping this from what we've just learned. Just give you a gist of what we got this morning. Maybe one of the ladies here also need to receive this. Then the Lord encountered him. And he said, why are you persecuting me? Why are you doing all this? So he said, who are you, Lord? Who are you, my master? Saul knew that there was a higher power than the power he had, because he had power over life. Saul had power over life. He could spare, he could kill you. He had power over that. But then he discovered that there is another power above me. He was struck with lightning and thunder, and he fell down, humbled by God. But God could not destroy him, despite all the atrocities he had done to the church. And from that moment, God never mentioned his past. He mentioned his future. He said, I'm saving you for the great work you have to do for me. And when he was sent to Ananias, you know, Ananias, the great prophet of the time, mentioned his past. He said, we know this man. There's no way, Lord. We know this man. We know his history. He said, I have all the reports with me. They are on my table. There's no way. Even as I speak now. Yes, he's there. He looks vulnerable. But the thing is, he's got letters to kill us. What are you doing, Lord? The Lord said, just shut up. This is a chosen vessel for me. So, chosen vessel. And that's how the Lord loves us. That's how he cares about us. That's how he's ready to forgive. We are non-disposable. We are reusable. Yes, we have been broken. But the Lord says, I can use you again. I can mend you. That art in Japan, that beauty. Did you find that picture? All right. Okay, forget about it. You can. When I was researching, I found it on the internet. You find it. It is called kintsugi, which means ken means gold. Then sugi means repair with gold. So this vessel looked even more precious than the way it was before. Paul, you can see the life of Paul, how precious it was. He wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. He explained all the unexplained doctrines that, for instance, the doctrine of baptism. John the Baptist came and preached all this doctrine about baptism. He never explained it. Jesus came and brought salvation. He never explained it. It is Paul, the chosen vessel, that explained salvation, that explained God's grace, that explained the baptism, and all these controversial doctrines that we didn't know about. This man, the murderer, the killer, the serial killer, when he went on the spinning wheel, he was turned into such a powerful man that we can talk about today. I don't know what we are going to talk about you in the coming years, but I promise you, you can be a greater vessel God can use. Get ready. Tell your neighbor, get ready. Come on, get it. Tell your neighbor, get ready. Get ready. You're very silent. I thought English people are very quiet, but when they are playing football, I saw English people shouting. So I don't know whether it's your culture or not, because I'm not very sure. When there's football, you lose your culture. When it's in church, you pick your culture. Tell your neighbor, get ready, like loud. 1, 2, 3, go. Get ready. I like that. I want to welcome the ladies in a special way. Thank you for joining us. It's such a wonderful time. We don't have a lot of time, but I'm going to talk a few things. I love family. And I just pray to God, Father, for this few minutes we left with today, come and speak to us, O Lord, and change us, mold us, rework our lives and change us, O Lord. Just like that vessel that was broken and then you made into another thing, which communicates to me that there is another part of our lives that we have not seen. Now the brokenness is stopping now and we want to look on the new life that you have for us. We're looking forward to seeing that. We're looking forward to using us in your kingdom, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Right. I'm going to talk about a few things. Yeah, that's the vessel. Thank you. That's the broken vessel that was broken, and there's nothing they could do about it. But then somebody used gold, and it's called kintsugi. Kintsugi. So they repaired it with gold, and now it became more precious than it was before. Because you are looking at the gold and you are admiring it. If it weren't for gold, there's no way you could take it back. But because of that repair that God has given us. You know, if God had not prepared my life, there's no way you could love me. The only way you can love me now because of those parts that God has repaired, and I'm more precious than I was before. I don't think I would love you because there was nothing to love you. You were wrong, you were mad, you were crazy. Do you know many people know that people are a little crazy? Your husband is a little crazy, your wife is a little crazy, and the children are also a little crazy. You know what I'm talking about? Your wife would do things and is she in her mind? She's a little crazy. But look at yourself, we are also a little crazy. Everybody's a little crazy in this world. But His grace has made us wonderful husbands. And Some people are more crazy, but but anyway, it's the grace of God that has kept us, that has made us precious in this world. There's no way. I mean, when they elected me to become the province overseer of this most influential province in Uganda, they voted me to become the bishop, to look after, to oversee all the churches there. And they gave me all these votes, and the bishop, you know, gave me a message and said, "You are the right man. I was looking forward to seeing you becoming the leader." And I looked at myself, and I knew I did not deserve that. I knew because I know myself. You know, you can give a report of me, but I can always give the better report about myself. I knew I did not deserve that. But because of that grace that the Lord gave us, that cover even those loopholes and those things that are not perfect in us, we can do His work. Praise the Lord. That's been wonderful. Thank you. Just say thank you. Just thank Him for His grace. Just tell Him, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I wouldn't be where I am. Maybe I would be dead. I would be dead. There's no way I could be living by now if it weren't for Your grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All fear is gone, and now we can face tomorrow. Amen. I'm going to talk about a few things before I finish. I don't think I'll finish all, but whatever I have, just use the little possible time left. Because now the ladies are here, I'll talk about family and a few other things about men, maybe to understand more, because I believe that women don't understand men and men don't understand women. Do you remember that thing I sent you on WhatsApp?
The book. The
loads of
guys didn't get that.
They didn't
get it? Oh. Someone said, "I can't wait to read this book." And then, can you say what it is?
Yeah. Do you want to tell? How did you understand?
I can get this. David sent me this thing. Maybe I sent it to most of you anyway. And it's, he said, there's this guy holding a book, yeah? Beautiful leather-bound book. And the book sent, you see the cover of the book, and it says, "What men know about women." And then he opens the book and he flicks through it. Yeah. And every page is blank. And guys were saying back to me, "Can't wait to read that book." And I'm thinking, "Yeah, no, you're not getting it."
And the book was empty, which means men know nothing about women. Just women know nothing about men. You know, if we knew each other, we would keep in good harmony. But because we don't know each other, we break all the time. We fight all the time. Because we don't know each other. You know, I remember I was sharing with the men, giving them a testimony about my family. The first 2 years, I think we spent our 2 years in hell. When I first married my wife, the first 2 years we were in hell. I don't know about you, but my pastor didn't give me enough counseling. I didn't know how marriage looks like. I thought it was just having fun, and that's it. Like, just, you know, being there, and that's it. I didn't know that I had brought trouble to my house. And my wife didn't know that she had married trouble as well. She thought she had married a demon, and I thought I had married an evil spirit. There's no way. I thought she has come to destroy my life, and that's it. I knew nothing about women, and she knew nothing about men. That's why we can never allow young people to marry. You know, you young people, you must buy books about women. Know, understand who they are. Read the Bible. What does the Bible say about a woman? What do these wonderful books say about a woman? And the women also must read books about men. We are different. We can never be the same. We are different and shall always be different. My wife will never be me, and I will never be her. Though the Bible says we become one flesh, not one spirit. Very different. She'll never be me. Her likes are different. My likes are different. My hobbies are different. We try to cope, but let me tell you, she's different. And I need to appreciate the difference she has. If I force her to become me, and if she forces me to become her, then we will fight all the time. And probably kick me out of the house, or I kick her out of the house. But when we understand the differences between us, then we will understand how God created us. We the way we think is differently. The way we process our issues is different. Men process their issues within, internally. The more we get stressed, the more we don't want to talk about it. Leave me alone. I'm processing, I'm working on certain things. I want you to leave me alone. But you always want to come and say, if you women here, you ask your husband, you know he's going through something. And say, "Darling, are you right? Are you okay? Say, yeah, I am okay. But you know he's not okay. But he doesn't want to share with you. And the more women are stressed, the more they want to talk about it. If my wife was here, just in these few minutes, Louisa would have opened. They would have known each other like they've been for 10 years. Probably they would have shared how their husband behaved, how good we are or how bad we are. You know, you need to pray about our children. They are through everything. Somebody said, women will go to the loo, total strangers. They will come back bonded friends. That short time, they're already bonded. But it's amazing. We can be friends with Niger for 10 years, and we don't know each other. No. We just talk about football. We talk about things. We talk about the things of the church, and we never dig into the issues of our lives because that's the way we are. That's why there's this couple, after 15 years in marriage, this man brings 15 flowers, 15 roses, because they're celebrating 15th anniversary of their marriage. And there was a great party about that. The next week, the man came back home with papers, signed them, and wrote this paper, divorce. So the woman ran to the pastor. Pastor, she just brought 15 flowers from 15 years. I don't understand. Because men can act when something is burning within them. And she can't figure out. She couldn't figure out what was going on. So we need to understand each other, how we process things. Maybe that would be another seminar. We come and talk about these issues. I need to choose, and I choose to love my wife every day. Every day. Now, when the Bible says, husbands, love your wives, don't think, when the Bible tells that, if it was easy, like breathing, it wouldn't have told us that. You think waking up and love your wife is easy. You think it is easy. Have you ever woken up? Now, don't say yes. But have you ever woken up and think like that woman shouldn't be there? Now, don't say yes, please. Don't say, just keep it. And the reverse is true. You wake up and you think, this man should be out of this house. But we choose to love one another. We choose to forgive. One of the tactics I've used to be able to be with my wife is to forgive her before she offends me. Because I discovered that every time she offends me, and I do the same. But as a man, as a servant of God, I decided to forgive her before she offended me because it was becoming difficult. And every marriage will have trouble, whether you like or not. All marriages will have trouble. I've had extreme Christians, you know, that take things to the extreme. When we go to church and we're making our vows, and we say, how do we say? For worse, for better, for worse. Now, some churches are removing for us because they are men of faith. This is a great man of faith. They won't say for us. That's a lie. Families, marriages will go for us. There will be worse moment in your lives. Just learn how to overcome that. And I've been telling people, if you don't want trouble in your marriage, there's one solution. Don't marry. Stay alone. Then you would have sorted out things. Stay alone in your house. You won't quarrel with anybody. You won't shout to anybody because you're alone. But the moment there's a scripture that Solomon gave, it is in Proverbs. Very powerful scripture. I don't know where the Lord has taken this meeting, but looks like he wants to communicate something to us. Sometimes I choose to share from the free heart. Proverbs 14, verse 4, I think so, yeah. It says, where no oxen are, the trough is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox. This is the wisdom of Solomon. Where there are no oxen, the crib is clean. When you don't bring in the cows, your compound will be clean. There will be no poo for, I mean, from from the cows. You know what I mean? So be clean. Excuse me for my language, but sometimes I have to express that. Have you ever been in your family and you really see something put there? Looks like the word you don't want me to say, poo, it's there. You wake up in the morning and it's there. Now, if you had not brought the cow, your crib would be clean. But the moment you bring the oxen, get ready for the mess. But, he says, there will be much increase by the oxen. Because the oxen dig. Oxen, cows. These are digging cows, I think. Before they brought the combined harvester, my sister used the oxen. They used to dig. Okay? So, but much increase comes by the oxen, because they do the work. You get the milk you need, you get the beef you need, but not without the mess. So what do you do if you bring in the oxen and it's going to mess up your crib? You must get a spade and must clean. How often? How often? Every day. So your husband is the ox you brought in. And your wife is the ox that you brought in. Now you are two oxen. You both bring the mess in the house. Clean it up. How often?
Every day.
Shout it out.
Every day.
Shout it out.
Every day. Oh, my Lord.
Don't keep it for long. Now, Ian just gave me this bottle of water. Thank you very much. Now, this bottle of water weighs nothing. It weighs nothing. Okay? Do you want to hold it? Do you get any trouble in holding it? Okay, raise your hand up, please. Just raise your hand up. Hold it there for me. Don't put it down. Just keep there as I keep preaching. But obviously, let me tell you, when I leave him to hold it like that for another hour, this is going to weigh 10 kilograms. But now it's weighing nothing. But because when he holds it there for long, it becomes heavier. You obviously understand that. So when you hold a grudge with your partner, with your children, with your husband, your wife, for long, it's going to become heavier than you can handle. That's why you must clean your crib. How often? Every day. So we must make our families happy. Make sure, because let me tell you, if you don't get happy in your family, where will you get happy from? To every man that Jesus healed, every man, go and read Jesus' miracles. Every man he healed, he said, go back to your family. Because men tend to hang around with their friends after work. They would tend to go to places where there are games, where this and the sports, and they leave their family. We deny quality time to our families. We leave our children to television and all the gadgets. I've been visiting homes, and you can't talk to the children. Everyone is busy in the corner, somewhere in the bedroom. They never talk to you. And you have left our children to be grown and mentored by the gadgets. But what good is there? Thank God for the internet, but you know how evil it can be. You see, the internet is nebulous. It can be good, it can be bad. All the research I make, I get on the internet. But you don't know how much evil is there. And does he have the right judgment to be on the internet? Come on, stand up for me. Does he really have the right judgment for the internet? And his mind is so curious. He's looking for things. His mind said, find out, discover this. And he's looking for things older than him. Come on, thank you very much. You wonderful man. One of the great. Jesus said, he brought a young child and said, this is the greatest of all. So, every man that Jesus healed, he charged him to go home. go back to your house. Because they wanted to hang with Jesus, you know, seeing miracles and wonders moving from town to town. He said, no, go back to your family. So men, you need to always to go back to your families. Some of you have got ready, you have a new, brand new grandfather. You need to be home for your granny, grandchild, you know, to look after him. Is it how old she? I mean, he? A boy or girl?
A girl.
Girl, yeah. You need to be there and make her, you know, wonderful. Yeah. Amen. So we need to really make our homes pure heaven, you know, where we can enjoy life. The only place I want to go to after I've done everything, after being here, when I go home, I'm going to switch off my phone for 1 week. I'm staying, keeping silent. Nobody knows that I've come back just to enjoy family and them to enjoy me. So if there's trouble there, I do not want to go back. Because when there's trouble in your house, you don't want to get back. Make sure that you make your family a very wonderful place. 1 Peter 3:7. Just give you a couple of scriptures, a few scriptures before I'm done. 1 Peter 3:7. Pastor, do you want to read for us quickly? Yes. Your prayers, yeah. Now, the Bible has charged us, another version say, live with your wives with understanding. Everybody say understanding. If you have no understanding, you can only keep your wife. Now, most people all over the world, we look at women and we think we are better than them. That's what men think anyway. That is not a simple creature you are holding in your hands. If you lack understanding, she can be with you, she can break you. I was in a conference, and one of the pastor's wives came. When the pastor was going to preach, said, "Wife, come and say something to these people." And these are the words she said. She just warned the women and warned the men. She said, "Women, use all your potential to build these men, because we have the capacity to kill them without talking to them." If there's anybody that knew that what she said, it was me. So if you don't have understanding, you cannot keep that powerful, wonderful creature that God gave us. And to the world. So I charge all the men in front of these women here, read books as a leader, read your Bible as a leader, so that you may have understanding. I want you to know that family has been attacked in all ways. If we don't have, we the heads, men as the heads of the families, if you still believe in that, because the enemy is also confusing that. But I've been telling the people in the morning that women will never be men, and just as men will never be women. People are becoming foolish in this world. Some men think they are trapped in the male, that they're women trapped in. Actually, there's a family, a girl had just run away from his father because the father thinks he's a woman. And the girl just ran to another family to be protected because she needs a father. But the father thinks he's a woman. So men, you need to have understanding. The brain is in the head. If the Bible says we are the head, the brains, you have to think. You must be a great thinker. I'm looking at my family and I'm thinking, I must always be ahead of them to be able to help them. Now, I have an 18-year girl. She's making 18, Rebecca. I need to work very closely with, because she thinks now, that's when we believe she's an adult. She believes she's an adult and she's free to do whatever she wants to do. And now she's telling the mom, from this day, you don't have to know where you have gone because I'm now 18. What do you know about 18? Yes, you are 18. The word is telling you are mature, you are an adult. I need to live with her with understanding. How is she interpreting the world at the age 18? What do you know about 18? What do you know about life? If you are my age and above, and I see people here above my age, you know that life is nowhere at age 18. You just need to concentrate for your studies. All of you here, if you are a little bit older, you've got an X somewhere in your life. And what that X means, it means a relationship that never worked. Because you miscalculated. You thought you were mature enough to handle that, but you couldn't. That's why everybody has got an X. And it's like, I wish you listened, but you never listened because you thought you were mature enough. So if I have these children growing up, because my family is a young family, I have to live with them with understanding. I have to live with Flavia, my wife, with understanding as a man. So men, I charge you, go back and read those books. Some of you have wonderful bookshelves in your homes that you never read. How many books have you opened and only stopped at page 3 and you never finished the book? That's why I end up writing very tiny books, because you people can't finish big volumes. That's why we can't read the Bible. So to have understanding, you have to read. We have a policy in my church that when you stop reading, you stop to lead. All my leaders must be reading a book. They must show me every week where they did their devotion. Because when you stop reading, you stop leading. There's no way you're going to lead people. There's no way you're going to be the head of the family without understanding. Because if you don't do that, the Bible says, because you therefore fail to handle your wife, therefore the Bible says your prayers will be hindered. I don't know why the Lord holds us so accountable to everything. Even when you've not done a mistake, the Lord will hold the man. Have you seen Eve bringing this fruit to Adam? But who did God call when they were hiding together? Adam, because you're supposed to have understanding. If she misses somehow, you must bring back the understanding. You must advise. Because you are the teacher, you are the priest, you are the advisor, you are the head. The word is redefining that today. But I said, we can transfer the heart. Your kidneys can be transferred. You can help her with your kidney, and you can spare her life therefore. But your head will never be transferred to her. So heads are not transferable. Men are not transferable. You better wise up. Because nobody's going to take your place. The head is non-transferable. Praise the Lord. So if you want to pray that your prayers will be heard, please leave your wives with understanding. And let us keep our children, you know, happy, and let us mentor them. I was listening to these young men who have been stabbing. You know, there's a lot of stabbing in the UK, in London. But when they were interviewed, these are the number one reason they gave, that we don't have fathers. We don't have fathers. Nobody to help us to become men. So what they do, they see men in the movies, and they are mentored by those ones. They see them killing and piercing and stabbing people, shooting. These are the games they are playing. So they are playing. And they are mentored by television and the things they see. And when they come in the real life, they think it can also apply by stabbing people so that you become a man. So we need to help our children grow. I've done my research when I was writing one of my books, Men, Where Are You? I went to prisons, I went to the street girls, and I went to schools. I went to many places where, you know, people are messing up their lives. And I asked the prisoners why they end up in prison. I asked about their lives, about their families. 95% of the people I interviewed said they had no father in their lives. But they all said our moms were there. Where are the men? Please, men, go back to your families. Hang around with the children. Support them. I always ask my children, what did you dream? They have to tell me all their dreams. because the enemy may be communicating to them and I don't know. So I need to find out what they're dreaming, who their friends are, and who are the parents of their friends. And I'm taking it further, who are the grandchildren of the parents of their children, so that I know exactly who is relating. What are their roots? Because family is my greatest ministry. That is the only way that God's kingdom is going to continue on earth, through our families. The Bible says that he gave him one wife, seeking a godly seed. In your marriage, God is interested in the children that you bring up, because that's how the kingdom of God is sustained on earth. But now, if you're not careful, Christianity is ending with us. Look at the things that our children love. They don't love God. They don't love prayers. But look at the Muslim families. The man is the head. He's the one that leads prayers. A woman cannot lead prayers. If you see them on Friday, they take their children to the mosque. It's the men holding their hands. I'm watching them. I'm studying them. And spreading everywhere, because to them, family is strong. But the Christians seem to be sitting back and doing nothing. So I want to charge you to wake up and think about these little ones. Men, be the leaders of the prayers, because God created us the priests of the family. Every morning, I have the chance to pray with my children because I pray for them at school and at home. And I pray for them. I speak to them. I find time. They have already booked some appointment to meet me now. When I go home, everybody wants to have one-on-one with me. I don't know why they want to tell me. I'm happy to meet them. Because if you don't, the world will speak to them. I don't know who is speaking to your listening child, because these children are listening. They are wonderful listeners. But who are they listening to? Watch out for that. Malcolm, are we going to go to that? Okay. All right. Sorry. Just quickly, I wanted to, this is going to come up. Okay. I want to talk about these three things, but I'm coming up. These gadgets. Okay, no problem. Shall I pick it from there? I just want to talk about man in front of everybody here now, that men, if you're going to make your life really wonderful and become a wonderful husband, father, mentor. Now, it doesn't mean, I'm not only mentoring or growing only my children. I have a lot of children in my life that I mentor, that I call me father. Now, don't be super speech and say, the Bible says never call anyone father. They mention that out of context. But a guardian, you must make God your first friend. Every man, and of course every woman, but much if the man makes God his number one friend, he would have sorted his life. Now, when you go to churches, men are nowhere to be seen and places. So God is the first friend of man. The first voice a man had was from God. So the first thing we must do every morning is to speak to God if you're going to make it in life. The first fellowship a man had was from God. The first fellowship. Don't fellowship with your friends. Don't hang around before fellowshipping with God. God should be your number one person that you have fellowship with. If the man is going to be, self and live a meaningful life, he must have fellowship with God. That's very important. I'm going to rush quickly. Now, there's a group of slides. I don't know where they've disappeared. But I will go to what if everything has changed. Some of my stuff disappeared. Maybe you copied them. The devil is a liar. Things will be working, and then all of a sudden, he always sneak in, and you see his finger or something like that. We're still learning. You see, these computers are not our generation. It's not my generation. We used to just live like that. But anyway, when our destiny is going to be really better, first of all, we need to have a relationship with our God, with our wives. When I say wives, I don't say please get more than one. You know what I mean? His wife, his God. Our relationship with God should be dealt with. Our relationship, second, after we've had a relationship with God, then with our wife, our children, and then our vision. Now, these look to be simple, but many men, what they've done, they've put vision in number one, and God is number last. And that's why we have cracking families. So watch out for this. So we finish that one. We start with God quickly. I'm going to just go through and just to give you what it meant. We finish that one. Then a woman was the first intimate creature to come into man's life. That is very important. After he had a relationship with God, fellowship with God, the next thing that was brought to man was his wife. Because God brought all the animals and passed them through before Adam to see how he would call them. He wanted to see if he would call a wife from one of the animals. But Adam was wise enough. I've heard some of the countries in the Scandinavian that bestiality is now illegal. I don't know where the world is going. But a woman was the first intimate creature to come into man's life. So keep this woman very precious that the Lord gave you according to that scripture. Quickly, just going through to continue the wife. The woman came in man's life as a companion and a helper. A companion as a helper. Very important to understand these things. Now, you all know now that the women share this title there, helper, with the Holy Spirit. The only person that is called helper in the scriptures is the Holy Spirit. And another one, and actually Jesus said it very well, I'll give you another. Because you can't say another if there's no the first one. So another denotes that there was another helper. So the women, you are the helpers. And that means if I can't lift this pulpit here, if I can't lift it and I need help, that means whoever must come to help me must be stronger than me. Does it make sense? Yes. Now, don't underrate women, you men who are here. Don't underrate those vessels. When you read the Bible and says they are weaker vessels, it's nothing to do with the muscles. That weak vessel the Bible is referring to, in the Hebrew, it means they are delicate. Handle them with care. But it doesn't mean they are weak as we may think. Women in scriptures brought down mighty kings. They did wonderful things that many could not even do. They were brave enough to go to the tomb when Peter, the so-called powerful apostle of Jesus, Peter could not go there. They went there. They're the ones that supported Jesus with money. As you know, men, we know where we put our money, not in church. But one of the greatest missions have been supported by women. If you look at these great evangelists and say, who are the most biggest partners of your ministry? They'll be women. So don't underrate them. So God has given, support them, in other words. When I support Flavia, I sent Flavia now for 2-3 years to South Africa to get more education. Because the more she gets qualified, the more she gets more skills, the bigger help I'm going to receive from her. Because now she's helping me with the school. She's the principal. I don't need to be there. She's the principal of the school, and the school is growing. She's meeting all the parents. I am there to help her, actually. But actually, she's helping the vision that God has given me. So if I support her, give her more education, and pray for her, prophesy upon her, give her, buy her the books. I bought a few books for her, how to be pastor's wife. You know, because she needs to be, you know, can't buy her how to be a carpenter's wife, but how to be a pastor's wife. Because when I give her these books, she will definitely become a better wife for the pastor. She's a better wife. She's in a better position. She can handle things for me. Amen. So please keep them as a good companion and support them so that they become even better helper. She can organize or disorganize you. Look at that statement. The woman you have in your house, your wife, she can organize you or disorganize you. She has the capacity to do that. So be careful. Now, I'm not saying women disorganize us, but the thing is, when you mishandle them, they will turn into the other side because women are always responding back. The way God created women, they respond back. What you give them is what they will return. Most of the things that women have done to men, they are doing that in response to what you did to them. That's the way they are, by the way, if you've not known that. But the worst thing about it, they don't return the same thing you've given them. They always multiply because women are multipliers. Give them a teeny tiny seed like this. After 9 months, they will give you a big baby. But you give them, because they have the power to build and multiply. You give them, you know, a small sentence, they'll bring back the whole book. Give them a little trouble, they'll raise the whole hell against you. Because they have the power to multiply things. So if you don't like what they're giving you, change what you are giving them. If you give them good things, they'll multiply and they'll bring better things. That's the way the Lord created them. So don't underrate them. So they can organize you or they can disorganize you according to the way you organize them or disorganize. When you disorganize them, my friend, they will disorganize you. The Bible says they can destroy a house. But they can also be, a wise woman builds a house, but can destroy it. So my point is, stop looking for the wrong things in them. Why don't you support them? Why don't you love them? Why don't you speak to them? Why don't you pray together? Depend on God for a suitable companion. For you who are still young, depend on God. Because if you get a wrong one, everything will be wrong. And don't bring back to us, because for us, we don't believe in, you know. Just depend on God for the suitable companion. For those who are still young. For those who are already married, please bear with your you can finish that for yourself. So depend on the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to handle her. You know, like we read 1 Peter 3. Quickly, I'm talking about wives. He needs her more than needs his children and vision. And children come and go. You see, man, if you're not careful, the one person you need in your life before anything is your wife. Now, what men have done, I've seen these men, because being a pastor, I meet a lot of people. And they do a lot of counseling. What men do, they take their love to their children. They skip the mother and then go to the children. Who told you that? The children you are depending upon, you are now giving all the love, which is okay, but you must love your wife first. The children will leave you. How many men are still living with their parents? Nigel, are you living with your parents? Yeah, you left your parents a long time ago. And then your father, you still exist. For those who still have their father, they are still staying with your mother. And we left them. So if I've seen men whose children have left and they don't know how to live with their wives because they never talk to them. Now they're alone in the house and they're total strangers. So please, in this meeting, I want you to give priority to your wife more than anything. Then children come next. What is the order? God first, wife next, children follow, then your vision, which includes your work. Amen? So make sure that that happens like that. Because she will always stay with you till death do you apart. Now, you don't have a covenant with your children that will stay with you till death do you apart. You have that covenant with only your wife. Amen. So keep that covenant running. Now, I don't think I'm going to finish all the things, but I'm suggesting next time we will also invite the women so that I can finish these things. They're wonderful things. The slides ahead, we are going to talk about the children, how the man lives with his children, and how he lives with his work. Then the last slides, we are going to talk about the seven different men, husbands that we have. Those who are absentees, those who are, seven others. But maybe we'll talk about that next time. But I feel because of the greatness of the responsibility that God has given men, I truly believe in this. And I'm going to invite, but before I invite him, let me just give you a small testimony, quick testimony. I was, when the Lord invited me to minister in this new place where we are now, there were witch doctors, witchcraft, and, for them, they are able to see in the spirit who is the strongest church, which one is the right church, which one should we fight? Because they know in the spirit they are always active. So this witch doctor, who later became a Christian, tells the story. This is what he told us. He said, "We knew when you came to this area, we knew who you are, who you were, and we saw the posters and what we are going to do, that we are going to plant a church here, and we started practice witchcraft against you, and we wanted to kill you. And we are waiting for those moments because you could see when you are most vulnerable, when you have not prayed for 2 days, when you are weak, when you are hungry, when you are angry, and when you are vulnerable, and you are looking for that moment to destroy you in an accident or something like that. But you were always covered. We could see we were covered by the prayers of your wife." What? "Because my wife never ceases to pray. I see her every time, waking up, going in the living room. I hear her sobbing and praying. And sometimes I listen and she's praying for me. She's mentioning my name, protect him, O Lord. Through all this, help him, support him, protect him. The blood of Jesus, you know." And this man says, the prayers of your wife kept you and we could not touch you because of the prayers of your wife. Now, our wives, women and ladies in this meeting, we want you to do something special. And I want you, do you want to come? And
we'll do this together, yeah?
Yeah, we'll do it together.
Yeah. Do you know, really quickly, when I became a Christian, I got married very early on. I hadn't been a Christian 2 minutes, and I'm married, yeah? This is the beautiful woman I married. And I started to panic, a bit like David. I thought, oh my gosh, what's going on? I'm a Christian now, this should be going really easy. But it was difficult, you know, it was hard, it was tough. And I'm thinking, what's happening? And I was always crying out to God, "God, where are all the men? Bring the men, I need help, help, I'm drowning, Lord. Where are the men in the church?" And I couldn't find them. And then one day God said to me, "Stop looking for the men, Nigel, and become a man." Yeah? And when that day happened, and I rose to that challenge, then I started meeting men. And when I meet guys like you, I wonder why I prayed that prayer.
Yes.
So, I'm going to become the man now. Do you know that we're all under authority? We're all soldiers in this church, aren't we? Church of soldiers. What do soldiers do? They take orders. So I'd like everybody to stand up. Now, I'd like all the women to sit down. That sorted the, I won't say that. Okay, we'll do this in 2 hours. Now, you can stay where you are. Yeah, this is good. I'd like all the married men to come and stand with David and myself. Whether your spouse is here or not, if you're married, just come and line up here. If you're not, men, keep standing. You're joining us in a minute. You're not getting out of this. Gosh. Wow. Good grief. There's quite a few of us, isn't there? Yeah. So we are the married contingency of the 100 of men of valor today. Yeah? Amen. So, you know, we're called to love our wives as Jesus loves the church. And we're not here to apologize. We're here to say, be patient. Because we, men of valor, are a work in progress. And we're being changed, as in today. And yet today through David's teaching. Tomorrow through Johnny's teaching. We're being changed into the likeness of Jesus. And part of our mission of 100 men of valor is to love our wives as Jesus loved the church, and we are being changed into his likeness. So lastly, would the rest of the men come and join us? We might have to double up a bit, eh?
You couldn't wait for that.
He's here. You'll be married one day, I'm sure. Yeah. Here comes Darwin. Come on, Darwin. Yes. Ladies, we are the 100 men of valor. He called it out. Yes! Come on.
Over to you, then.
No. Malcolm, you need to take a picture of this. Please get your camera before we do the next thing. Now, what we are going to do, we want to appreciate you, first of all. Thank you for being there. For those who are married, really, and those, even those, I think, just thank you so much for bearing with us. These are not simple creatures, including me. Right. If my wife was here, I would tell you I'm not a simple man. She has bared me for these 19 years, but we are getting there. I'm getting better every other day. But I think we bear each other, but I think women bear more things from us. And we believe in you. God has given you the ministry of being helpers to support us. I know we've done mistakes, and we have failed you here and there. But we still believe that God has given you such a gift to help us and support us. And we believe in our prayers. The witch doctor confessed this and said, because of the prayers of your wife, we couldn't touch you. You are always covered by the prayers of your wife. Now, we believe in your prayers. And tonight, we want to ask you, you are going to pray for us. You're going to pray for this man. We want to honor you with that because we believe. It's amazing how the Lord will hear women in scriptures. One time, Sarah made mistakes in Abraham's home. But then she went and reported these things to the Lord. When she's the one that brought trouble. But when she asked the Lord just stood up and told Abraham, listen to her. Listen to what she's saying. And yet she had the one. It's amazing how the Lord will listen to you. So I don't know who wants to lead these prayers, but we want this moment to pray for us, to be the men. We believe in you. We believe in the prayers. Who wants to lead that? You want to come? Yes, come forward. And if there's anybody, just prepare and pray. Do you want to come on and stand here?
Jesus.
Now the men are this side.
Oh, thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for these men tonight. Lord, we just thank you for this group here. We just thank you for the hearts, Lord, how you're molding them and making them into a new vessel. And we know, Lord, that you've got work to do within them, that they're a work in progress. And we just pray, Lord, that their ears would be open to hear the Spirit of God. We just pray, Lord, that you would mold them and design them, Lord, to what you desire. Lord, you've got a plan and a purpose for each man here and boy. Lord, we just know that you've got a good works for them, Lord. That they would follow you in all of the ways, Lord. That they would trust in you and acknowledge you as Lord and Saviour. So we just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to stand in front of these mighty men of God this evening. We thank you, Lord, that you are igniting each one's heart right now. We ask you, Lord, to increase your work in their hearts right now. So they stand not just as men of valor, but mighty men of God. I ask you, Lord God, to increase not just the fire, but increase the breaking of their hearts, Lord, so that they become and see you, Lord, becoming more like you, Lord God. Nothing else matters, Lord God, except you. Nothing else matters. So we now break down altogether all the high things, the worship things, the things that you worship in high places. You now bring them down. And you make a fresh covenant with God today that you will not compromise. For his name's sake.
Lord, I thank you for these mighty men tonight. I just feel we need to pray protection for them, for their marriages, for them personally, Lord, as well. That you will send your angels before them and with them, Lord, for physical protection as well as spiritual and mental protection. I just ask in your precious name. Amen.
Yes, Father, going on from that, we just put the blood of Jesus over every single man here this night. We just thank you for them, Lord, and I just ask that you will show every individual man here who they are in you. The power, Lord, they have. The might they have. The warriors in you. Show each and every man here. They're so worthy, Lord. Worthy of carrying your name. Each one has you inside them. Show them your power, Lord. Unleash your power in every man. Unleash it. Thank you, Jesus. Teach them how to love us as wives. Teach them how to be strong, Lord, when there's obstacles that cause division. Teach us how to have unity. Thank you, Lord, for, like you said, each marriage, Lord. Thank you for each marriage, and just bless each marriage. And those who aren't, give them wisdom, Lord. Give them much wisdom. Just bless each one here this night. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you're just such an amazing God, Lord. We just can't fathom you, Lord. There's just this perfect bond, this unity that you've made between a man and a woman, Lord Jesus. And I just want to thank you, Lord, that you can empower us, you can equip us, Lord Jesus. I just pray, Lord, right now, like for these men standing beyond us, Lord Jesus, that they'll just have that knowledge of you, Lord, and that that want and desire, Lord, to get a closer relationship with you, Lord, and put that firstly and prioritize that mainly in their lives, Lord. Help them, Lord, to remember to pick up the Bible, to read the scripture, to embed it in their hearts, Lord Jesus, so that, Lord, that they can just be you, be that living God within them, Lord Jesus. Some of them are married, some of them aren't married, some of them are a few years off yet, Lord Jesus, but you can make that work in progress, Lord Jesus, no matter where they are in that situation, Lord Jesus. And I just pray right now, Lord Jesus, that you'll just develop that seed, grow it within them, Lord. Help them to become this mighty man, Lord Jesus, for that woman, for that girlfriend, for that wife, for that future wife, Lord Jesus. And Lord, just help them, fill them full of more and more, and love in abounding, Lord Jesus. You are an amazing God that are full of mercy and love that they can just pour out, Lord, in that relationship with their wives, Lord, and then it will just overflow into their children's, Lord Jesus, and then beyond that, Lord, into that vision, Lord, that thing, Lord, that you have in front of them, Lord, that they're going to be for you, Lord, that they're going to pave the way, Lord Jesus. And I just pray right now, Lord Jesus, that as the seed starts to grow in that one man, Lord, it will just then be developed into that family, Lord. It will just keep going and keep going like a ripple, like a stone being thrown into a lake, Lord Jesus. That is just one family and a whole bunch of stones being thrown into it, Lord Jesus. And not only that, Lord, but you, Lord Jesus, will be seen, because so many stones will be thrown into the the water, Lord Jesus. So many ripples. It's like a tsunami of God flooding the land, flooding the place, Lord Jesus. I just pray, Lord, that these men just rise up, Lord Jesus. These women, Lord, we pray for even the women who are standing as well, Lord Jesus, that also them, Lord, will just take what that you're saying to them, Lord, and then we can just help these men, Lord. We can empower them. Multiply what you're saying in their lives, in their families' lives, Lord Jesus, and in their vision, Lord. And I just ask and pray this in your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I just thank you, Lord, that as these men are standing here in faith and in and trusting in you, Lord, and in humility, that the seed that's planted in them is going to grow, Lord, and it's going to land on good soil so that it can multiply. And I thank you, Lord, that that the passion that's inside them is just going to grow, and they're going to find a deep love for you, Lord, and they're just going to keep going towards you. Amen.
Abba, Father, we just thank you that you have drawn these men here today. Thank you for David, Lord, and his ministry. And Holy Spirit, we just pray that you would just come and hover over these men. As you did at the beginning, you hovered over the waters, Lord. Just come and hover over these men, Lord, your men, your sons, and we're your daughters too, Lord, and we thank you. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that your will and purpose for each man here, each child, each young man would be fulfilled in this generation, Lord. You are a holy God, and we pray, Lord, that the holiness would grow in each one, that there would be a real righteous fear of the Lord, that you would come first, Lord, in their lives, in all of our lives, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are our helper. And Lord, we pray that we would be good helpers to our husbands, to the men around us, Lord. And we just thank you and we uphold them, Lord. And we just, I pray, Lord, that we would lift our men up. We won't put them down, Lord, because as David said, we can do both. But Lord, that we would uphold our men, that we would pray and intercede for our men, and that they would feel important, they would feel the head of the household. We just ask, Lord, that you would just hover over them and stay with them, that they would carry your presence, that they would be real presence carriers, Lord. And we just pray a blessing upon each one of you now. We just bless you. We bless your lives. We bless your families. We bless your homes. We bless your relationships. We bless your marriages. We just bless you now, each one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
And now I want to honor Pastor Johnny. You're going to close prayer, praying for us all.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you, Lord, you know every one of us. Lord, that you haven't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Lord, we are not cowards in you, Lord. We are mighty men and mighty women. Lord, you have called us to rise up, to stand, to be the head and not the tail. You've called us, Lord, to be the men and women. You've equipped us with everything we need, Lord, to live this life. You've given us the armor of God, the spirit of the living God living inside us. Lord, Lord, in you we are more than conquerors. Lord, we are covered in your blood, washed clean, Lord, by everything you've done, Lord. And I thank you for that. And Lord, these ladies, Lord, all of them, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will speak to their hearts. Lord, they're not a servant or a slave to anyone. A helper, Lord, is what you've made them to their husbands. Lord, but they are all mighty warriors in you. Lord, they are, Lord, more than just somebody who prays. Lord, they are princesses in your sight, world changers. Lord, I pray, Lord, that for every one of them, they will forgive, Lord, the men that have put them down. Lord, the men have tried to be, Lord, something they are not by putting the lady down. Lord, forgive the men that if they've done that. But Lord, help us to see who you are in every one of us. Lord, that you have called us, Lord, to put you first in all things. And Lord Jesus, you put mankind first when you went to that cross. Lord, and every man should be prepared to lay down his life for his wife. As Lord, you set that example by laying yourself down for your bride-to-be. Lord, I just thank you for everyone here, and I pray right now, Lord, that you will have give us all the courage to be who you've called us to be, to stand firm in the position you've got us. Lord, to rise up and to be the man and the woman of God that you've called us all to be. Amen. Amen. Amen.
This is just to say thank you very much for being here since this afternoon. Thank you very much. May the Lord God bless you. Please, if you are going back, you can pick up one of those books I've written. I brought them for you. You can take one home and you'll be blessed by the information therein. Hope to see you tomorrow on Sunday. God bless you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Nigel, and all the organizers, Malcolm, Philip, and everybody. Dan, you've done a great job. Ian, my daughter's learning how to play violin. I wish you could meet and teach her how to do all those things. God bless you and have a good night.